Dear God, we thank you for the gift of music that you've given us to move our hearts toward worship. And dear God, thank you for giving your people all the way back to the Levites, those who have a facility to lead worship. We pray that you would bless those who take the time and have that gift, that you would encourage them this morning. And dear God, as we open up your word again and talk about this highly spiritual subject of prayer, I pray that you would remove again the messenger and that you would teach us how to pray, dear God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have a movement of revival here related to prayer. That would be a revival of souls and sanctification and ministry and all these things that come as a result of answered prayer. I plead for it, and I bring this offering to you this morning humbly, knowing the weakness of the messenger. I pray that you would meet the weakness with your power this morning, for you are worthy of praise. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Please turn there with me. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. If you're visiting this morning, this is our second message in a series titled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And we're using 2 Thessalonians 1:11 as a jump-off point. And of course, we go through the Bible line by line, verse by verse, and we're just taking a little brief digression here related to the subject of prayer. And I promise we'll come right back into the context of 2 Thessalonians in a number of weeks. But I was saying last Sunday, I just really, really felt compelled to do a number of messages on the subject of prayer. We read some of those statistics last week about the average amount of time that professing Christians who attend church pray, and I was just overwhelmed when I read that your basic professing Christian who attends church every week prays between 1 and 5 minutes a day. I read that and I said to myself, I cannot go to my grave without doing a 6 or 8 week series on prayer, praying that the Holy Spirit would move some of us to learn how to pray and be committed to prayer. And just as a really interesting footnote, there was more response to the message last week on prayer, I think, than any other message I've ever given here. Stan, 2 or 3, maybe 4 other messages related to different things. But there was a really, really good, honest response by many, not just 1 or 2 or 3. If you came and you were the 1 or 2 or 3 that came, there were a whole bunch of people that told me you were convicted about your lack of prayer. And the ones that didn't come, I know perhaps you were also convicted. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1:11 with me. This is our jump-off point. Look at it with me in your Bible. The Apostle Paul, again, his love and concern for the Thessalonians is powerful. It's obvious. He says, to this end also, we pray for you always. And we started last week with that question, you might remember, from Luke 11:1. And we don't have to turn there. I'll just remind you, in the context of Luke 11, the disciples asked Jesus a very, very, very important question. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had seen Jesus' prayer life. They had witnessed the priority of prayer in his life. They saw him go up to pray when they were going to bed. They saw him come back from prayer when they were waking up from sleep. They heard his prayers. They understood that even though Jesus was doing miracles and healing the sick and preaching like no man ever preached and souls were being converted, they saw him make prayer a priority of life and ministry. And finally they come to this place. It's an amazing place. Lord, teach us to pray. You ever been there where you were with someone who was so passionate about something? Something perhaps you were also interested in, and you saw them do it, and you said to yourself, they're doing it differently than the way I'm doing it. Do you ever do that? I do that. And I can just imagine the disciples were watching Jesus and hearing Jesus and seeing Jesus pray, the priority of prayer in his own life. And finally, you've been there and I've been there. Lord, teach us to pray. Because we're not praying the way you pray. We're not committed to prayer the way you're committed to prayer. We want to get it. Would you please, please teach us? And last Sunday in our introduction, I made a really, really, really important statement. And get this morning. The prerequisite of all change is a desire to change. In other words, if you're one this morning who says, well, you know, I'm in that group that prays 1 to 5 minutes a day. The prerequisite of change is a desire to change. You have to say to yourself, you know, that's just not what God wants. Forget about the pastor. That's not what God wants for me. And I want to change that. God, my heart is broken. And my heart is contrite. My heart is humble. And I want to change. God, how do I do it? How do I get committed to prayer like George Mueller? How do I get committed to prayer like the Apostle Paul? How do I get committed to prayer like Jesus? God, I want to do it. How do I do it? God, teach me to pray. I guess for some of us, to be honest, we've never been taught how to pray. We've never been taught what to say. We've never been taught the motivation for prayer, the reason for prayer, the theology of prayer, not from our perspective, but from God's perspective. What does that mean? I think for many people who struggle with prayer, and I know that many, many people struggle with prayer because I get to talk to people one-on-one where they take the mask off and they talk to me. And they know that I'm not going to go blab what they tell me to someone else, and so they can be honest. And people say, I just run out of things to say, and I don't know. And I'm thinking, you know, perhaps for some of us, the grave clothes of when we're small children, those are still draped on us. What does that mean? I think when we're kids, we fold our hands by the side of the bed and we say, God bless our mama and our daddy and bless our pastor and Aunt Mabel is going to the hospital, help her, heal her, and God give us, thank you for being with us today. Amen. Good night. You know, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same channel. And that's okay. I mean, that's okay to teach kids the principle of prayer, you know, if you're under, you know, 10. But I think a lot of adults take that same model. God, bless my mama, bless my daddy, bless my sister, bless my brother, bless the church, bless the pastor. And God, you know, don't forget, you know, I want that red bike. And if you could, you know, if you find it in you, go ahead and get me that red bike too. Good night. Oh yeah, P.S. Help my friend Steve. He, you know, he's sick, but I want him to come to my birthday tomorrow. Good night. And you know, then that's it. And that takes what, a minute? And that seems kind of trite and that seems kind of trivial. And that may even seem condescending, but if you've never been taught how to pray, that's what prayer degenerates into. But beloved, there's a very, very different model of prayer in the Bible. Prayer is never self-centered. It is God-centered. Prayer is never about my will. It is about God's will. And so for the next number of weeks, we're going to talk about this subject that many, many of us are, quite frankly, embarrassed to talk about. And the goal of our study is to increase our commitment to pray as individuals, to learn how to pray, to learn what to say, to understand prayer in a way that is biblical, not in the way that is often practiced in real life by many who just want something from God and they come to Him as some type of last resort. I guess, very personally and humbly, I would love everyone to say, you know what? At the end of these messages, I would love people to say, it was the Holy Spirit, Pastor, that convicted me about my prayer life. It was the Holy Spirit that compelled me to begin to pray as God wants me to pray. So today we're going to go forward with what I call how to begin and maintain a life of prayer. And I want to give credit to one of my professors in seminary, Dr. Roskup, who taught the prayer class. He's the one who really taught me about the priority of prayer in life and ministry. And I realize in a group this size with this many people this morning, it's much more difficult to teach on the subject of prayer than it is in the seminary environment. You say, why is that? Because this morning we have everything on the spectrum from the George Muellers who are praying 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day to people who are not yet believers in Jesus, perhaps. And everything in between, as far as I can stretch my hands out, you know, that's not far enough, but you get the idea. And you have everything in between that spectrum. Spiritual people who are praying as a pattern of life, and those who are not praying, quite frankly, who aren't even related to God yet. And so these messages have been a challenge to try to put this all together. But let me begin and let me encourage you this morning before we dig into some passages and continue on with our topic. Beloved, wherever you are on the spectrum today, whether you're a prayer warrior who's been in the prayer closet for decades, longer than I've been alive, or someone who's just maybe starting to get convicted about the subject, or someone perhaps who's just beginning to be drawn to the truth, let me just be really strong and passionate and make a point here. The reality and power of prayer, the veracity of prayer, the literal nature of prayer does not change or is diminished based on anyone's opinion of it. Does that make sense? Really, really a great thought. In other words, if you're praying a minute a day or you're not yet a believer, that doesn't negate the power, the authority, the importance of prayer. It's just like the gospel. You go out in the world and you're in an airport with 500 people. Does the reality of the gospel, the power of the gospel, change because some believe it and some don't? No. The truth is the truth. And the truth of prayer, beloved, is that it's real. It works. It moves the hand of God. It allows you to go into the heavenly, holy of holies through the blood of Christ and come into the presence of God through the mediatorial work of His Son. It's an incredible, incredible thought. And that doesn't change based on anyone's personal opinion of the subject. Tremendous, tremendous thought as we begin. Let me show you just a couple examples this morning. Look at Luke 18. Let's begin in Luke chapter 18. Verses 1 through 8. Our first point this morning, the first way to begin or maintain a life of prayer is that we must see this as a biblical principle. In other words, we must draw our encouragement from God. The messages, the passion of the pastor, the desire of the pastor or the parent or the Sunday school teacher wears off really, really quick. Real change only happens when we see it as something right God wants us to do. And I want to show you that from Luke 18. This is a really important point. And again, for some of us, we need to just say amen and begin a life of prayer, real time committed in prayer. For others this morning, we need to be encouraged not to give up or throw in the towel. Wherever you are on that spectrum today, Luke 18 is just an amazing illustration. Look at it with me. And let's read together Luke 18:1. Now, Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Stop right there. What's the point of the parable? Look at verse 1, please. Look at it with me in your Bible. What's the point? Just really black and white. The point is clear. Look at verse 1. To show them, to show us, if you will, that at all times we ought to pray and not lose heart. That's the point of the parable. And I think for a lot of people this morning who are in church spending no time in prayer, we need to hear the parable of the widow and the judge. For some of us who are discouraged this morning because perhaps we have been praying for this or this or this or this or that person or that person, and we have really truly been praying for them, but apparently in our mind we haven't seen the hand of God work in that situation. We need to hear the parable of the widow and the judge. Amen. We need to see it in God's Word as a principle of truth. You say, what's the principle? It's the principle of persistence. The danger, again, is that we would see prayer simply as something mom or dad wants us to do. You young people, please, 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 teenagers, young people, young children, you don't pray because mom or dad wants you to pray or pastor wants you to pray. You pray because God wants you to pray. That's why you go to prayer. That's why you take time. That's why you get down and you fold your hands and you get on your knees. Not because your mom or your dad, because of God. We need to understand it is God's desire as Christians for us to pray and to be persistent, to be consistent, to be urgent, to be vigilant, to be indefatigable is a great word. The parable, look at it with me. It's a classic, for all of you who love logic and rhetoric, it's a classic picture of arguing from the lesser to the greater. You often hear me talk about that, but this is a great illustration of that. You have the earthly judge, the lesser, moved by a persistent woman. How much more will God, the greater, be moved by His own children? Delightful reasoning. This is a really good continuation of what we talked about last week. For some, for many today in the church, churches just like this one, I'll be honest, many don't have a drive to pray. They don't have a passion to pray. They don't have a commitment to prayer. Beloved, wherever you are in the spectrum this morning of your spiritual discipline of prayer, please hear the parable of the widow and the judge. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Continue to pray. And God will hear. God will answer those prayers for His glory. Second, let's move forward. Look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Very familiar passage. And you love this passage, and I love this passage, and most of us have this memorized. But just turn there with me in your Bible. Again, we're talking about how to begin or maintain a life of prayer this morning. Wherever you are in that spectrum, first, the parable of the widow and the judge, the principle of persistence. Second, it's the principle that we must remember God cares about everything in our lives. Look at Philippians 4, 6. And we know it by heart, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Can I just share a little bit from the pastor's study, the pastor's appointment book, the pastor's counseling? The number one thing that people come in and they want to talk about is anxiety. You believe that? They're anxious. Don't know what to do about this. Don't know what to do about that. Don't know what to do for work. Don't know what to do for husband. Don't know where they should live. Don't know what to do with this problem. Don't know what to do with that person. Don't know what to do with their kids. Don't know what to do with their finances. And they're just really, really, really super duper anxious. This is what people want. They're anxious and they want someone to talk to. And this is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous verse in the Bible. Look at the word everything with me in Philippians 4, 6. The key to understanding this related to prayer, look at it with me, is the word everything. What does that mean? All problems, difficulties, issues, dilemmas, they're within the reach of God's mighty hand. He's not always going to answer by taking the thing we deem to be distasteful or discouraging away. He's not always going to give us what we deem to be desirable. But there's a promise, beloved, that God cares for everything. He cares about everything in your life. Man, is that a great reason to go to prayer? Isn't that just amazing? You know, I think one of the struggles that we have, and I think, tell me, you people that are more mature here, is this true? I think the older you get, is this fair to say, and you come argue with me during the week if you think I'm off in left field, if you think I'm obtuse, that's one of my favorite words I often use. Don't say you think I'm obtuse. You didn't even hear what I'm going to say. When you get older, is it just me, or you realize there's just like, you know, you got like how many fingers on one hand? Like five fingers? Most of us have five fingers on one hand. I mean, take two of those fingers away, maybe three of those fingers away, and that's about how many people really care about you. Am I the only one? I mean, who really care about you? I'm not talking about slap you on the back at church and say, hey, how are you doing? You know, praying for you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. You haven't prayed for that person. I'm just saying that. You got about this many people who care about you. And if you have more than that, you know, maybe I'm the only one. And I'm thinking, but isn't it delightful that God cares about me? Because if I had to depend on this two people or three people, or for you it might be 20 or 30 because you're way better or more desirable than I am. But for me it's only like two or three people. I mean, if I had to just depend on those two people, I would be kind of a depressed person. But I'm telling you, in prayer we have God. And we can depend on Him. And He cares for us. And He cares for us infinitely more than the two or the three or the four or the five. And you know what I can't figure out? Is why do we spend so much time and energy talking to the people and hanging out with the people and being with the people and giving our lives to the people who really don't care about us? Maybe I'm the only one. But that's what drives me to prayer. That's what drives me to prayer. Someone just asked me recently, you know, how is it that you can have a prayer life over the years that has been consistent? And I'm thinking, you know, God is really the only one. God and my wife, perhaps, are the only, they're really the only ones who care about me. So why would I want to go talk and spend all my time and my energy and my effort and my passion on these people, you know, who really, you know, if I lived or died, you know, they would be sad. And of course I know all of you care for your pastor and you love your pastor. You know what I'm saying. I know that. And I love that about you. And it's vice versa. But it's a tremendous illustration. God cares. He hears our prayers. And look at verse 7, going back to this theme of being anxious. I'm thinking, when we're anxious, there's something missing, because I have a promise. Do you see the promise in verse 7? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Is the peace of God the greatest thing subjectively to experience in this life? The peace of God, is that just a wonderful thing? I just can't explain the peace of God. I just love the subjective and the objective, the peace of God. It surpasses our human comprehension. You know, and there's really only one place where I find that peace. And you might find peace in other places. I'm getting to the point where I only find that peace in one place. It's in prayer. It's in the presence of God. And that's what the Bible is teaching us here. And then we read those statistics about people praying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes a day. I'm thinking, you're not going to have peace, and you're going to continue to be anxious if you don't pray. Tremendous, tremendous principle. The motivation, beloved, to begin and maintain a life of prayer is the reality that God cares about everything in my life. God cares about me intimately more than my husband or my wife or my best friend. And if that isn't enough to move you, God will give you a supernatural peace that passes all human understanding. And if you don't know that peace today, I'm telling you, that peace is ineffable. It is indescribable. It is glorious. Let's just close with one more thought, if you would allow me. The third way to begin and maintain a life of prayer, and this is just a review from last week and a couple of new thoughts here. Our final point, just briefly, beloved, we must think of prayer as an absolute essential, not as an add-on or a leftover. Just a couple more thoughts here, and we'll be done. It was really, really interesting out of college. The first full-time job I had, get this, before I was saved, before I met Terry, I was just a guy who graduated from college. First job was a bartender. Second, that wasn't full-time, that was just at night. Second job was a full-time personal trainer in the gym all day, training people how to lift weights, how to work out. You know, that I was really into that. And so, you know, this was like my dream job. There's a lot to learn in life when you go to the gym and your job is a personal trainer. And some of this, I think, applies to the spiritual life as well. One of the lessons, don't miss this, one of the lessons I learned, there are really only two types of people that go to the health club. Those who go for the social aspect and those who go to be healthy, to stay in shape, to get in shape, etc., etc. Those who are addicted to this lifestyle, they want to be healthy, they want to be vibrant, they want to be physically fit, they're doing it for the right reasons, they're willing to sacrifice, they're willing to work, they make this a priority to make it happen. And then there's a whole other group, they want those same things, but they don't want to work to get them. And many would just come, get all dressed up and groomed up and looking great, and they would come sit at the juice bar and drink juice. You can't make this stuff up. I'm not making this up. They just drink juice. Funny stuff. And they would come when they felt a need to socialize and they were lonely, you know, or this person was there and they wanted to meet that person. They would come. You know, and the girls would have all their hair done and their makeup, and they'd have perfume on, and they'd have this amazing outfit. And I'm thinking, you don't look like that if you've come to work out. And then you had this other group of people. Man, and they would, my shift was from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I would get there at like 5:30, and it was still dark, to open the doors. And there'd be this group of people, and they were waiting with this crummy old, dirty, smelly sweatpants and didn't take a shower, you know, just gross looking and the hair not done and the makeup not done, and the guys would just be, you know, have their hats on. And but you know what? When the doors open, they'd be working out and they'd be sweating. And I think it's a really, really great illustration related to prayer. For those of us who love to pray, beloved, for those of us who understand prayer this morning, It's a lot like physical fitness. It's a priority. It's something that is on the schedule. It's something that is never thought of as optional but mandatory. Something that will not be left out. Something I do regardless of how I feel in the moment. For those of us who are praying this morning, we're desirous of having a spiritually strong and healthy spiritual body. And that takes work. That takes commitment. Make no mistake about it, if you're going to say yes to prayer, prayer is hard work. It's not easy. It is often painful. But for many, prayer is just something they add on at the end of the day when there's nothing else to do. For many, prayer is simply a leftover. For many, they report going days at a time without prayer. For many, their prayer life is just a few leftover moments of a day when they're so tired and fatigued by the day, they couldn't pray if they wanted to. But to begin and maintain a life of prayer, we must think of prayer as a priority, as essential, as something that we do, even if we have to cut something or someone else out. People who understand prayer give God their best time. And I was thinking this week in conclusion, if that doesn't motivate anyone, and there's a good chance it won't, I was thinking of Luke 6:12. I'll just read it. This is what we talked about last week. Beloved, to be motivated to prayer, You have to see this not as something that's optional. And Jesus proved that. Jesus went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. The Apostle Paul said, "To this end we pray for you always." The Apostle Paul said, "We pray without ceasing." Before we start into the content of prayer, what to say, the theology of prayer, all these deep, heady theological subjects that will motivate you to pray from a theological, biblical perspective, we need to be like the disciples, and we just need to get to the point where the Holy Spirit is convicting us and saying, "God, it's true, I want to pray. Teach me how to pray, and I'm willing to say yes to prayer for the glory of God." That's been my prayer for every single person who listens to these messages. Let's close. Dear God, would you convict us? Would you compel us? Would you move us? Would you motivate us as only your Holy Spirit can to be men and women of prayer? Father, for your glory, teach us to pray in order that we could bear fruit, in order that souls would be saved, in order that the lost would be won, in order that the saved would be sanctified. Father, teach us to pray, for you are worthy of praise. Spending time with you is the time that is best spent on this earth. I pray, dear God, Holy Spirit, that you would burn that into the hearts of the listeners this morning, and that through something that's been said this week or last week, that there would be great movement. And I just pray for wisdom as we continue this study, that you will continue to draw people, and that there would be an unbelievable revival of this spiritual discipline of prayer. And we ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.